Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast and worst year ever, the show named after the current year we are living through. That's right. This is a mashup episode, a crossover.
Yeah. Worst news ever.
I don't know if you can call it a crossover because these two shows inherently are a crossover.
Also, we've had episodes of Even More News with Robert as the guest.
Yeah.
So
and all of the episodes of Worst Year Ever as us as hosts. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention, my name's Katie Stoll.
I'm Cody Johnston, Katie Stoll.
And joining us today is our co-host, Robert Evans, and our amazing, amazing Worst Year Ever producer, Sophie Lichterman. Hi, guys. I actually just realized I never said your last name out loud before. I did good.
You nailed it.
Thank goodness. Sophie, since you're new here, you're unfamiliar with how we run things. So before we get
fast
started.
Fast and loose. What's going on, everybody?
What's going on, everybody?
Yeah. Oh.
We are totally messing up not talking over each other. But before we get started, every episode, we wish everybody a national whatever holiday it is. So today we would like to wish everybody a very happy day 4 of Election Day. That is this day's national, not holiday, because elections are
That's
not holidays.
That's it? There's nothing better than
No, there's
that.
Something better. It's also National Nachos Day.
Oh, hell yeah.
So going out there and celebrate democracy,
Absolutely.
With some cheese and beans chips.
Yeah. Meat. Gobble it up. Sour cream if you want. Who cares?
Whatever you desire.
Yeah.
And
are you guys more into corn or flour tortillas?
Oh, flour. Tortilla chips. Oh, now see, you just changed the goddamn game on me. Yeah, corn, of course.
Yeah, corn, 100%.
Corn. This is the transition to the first ad.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? How are you feeling? Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Even More News. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity. Be one of the first 1,000 people to use our link to get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership at skillshare.com/news2. That's the numeral 2.
How's everybody doing? How's everybody feeling?
That's a great question, Robert. I normally ask people that question in this exact section of the show. So it's nice to have it turned around. I feel so weird. I think that's the most eloquent way for me to put it. I feel excited that it's almost over. I feel relieved that the actual voting is over. And I feel incredibly nervous. I was telling Sophie before we started recording, I actually feel like when I used to go on lots of auditions, before I had a really big audition, I would have almost unbearable nerves that I would feel down into my fingertips. And whenever I turn on the news or start to read about it, I feel really jittery. I don't know if that resonates with anybody, but that's my emotional state.
I'm enjoying today.
I'm
watching people dunk on 4chan. I'm just scrolling through the Proud Boys,
QAnon
Telegram channel.
QAnon hasn't posted
just laughing.
In a few days, apparently.
It's good stuff.
Anyone see that guy on Twitter? I didn't even read who it was. That was like, I've worn black ties.
Oh, yeah.
David Corn. Mother Jones.
Corn.
David Corn, who has credible sexual harassment allegations against him and Mother Jones. Yeah.
Good reminder.
I was like, I don't know who this man is. I don't want to look into it, but I hate him.
Oh. Yeah, there's some fun, embarrassing stuff out there today.
I think you're right. It's very fun. I think that's adding to my general jitteriness of there's like so many good jokes. Mm-hmm. Twitter's on fire. I feel excited that they're losing, that they've lost.
They definitely lost the election. Yeah, like where I am, I'm not, you know me, I don't like Joe Biden. Think he's also got credible sexual assault allegations against him.
Amongst other things.
Thinks he's going to do of like the several dozen incredibly important things that need to be done. I think best case scenario is he's willing to do like one-ish of them.
Yeah. Well, no, Robert, we gotta worry about the debt. What are you talking about? Come on.
Yeah, I'm not really paying so too much attention to, you know, the Joe Biden's, you know, I'm gonna Photoshop Joe Biden into the Avengers stuff, but I am enjoying the Proud Boys and the Nazis on 4chan melting down. That is fueling me right
now. That. Yeah, today is for basking. Mm-hmm.
I'm wrapped with this. Sure. It's captured all of my attention and focus right now because I want to see Donald Trump lose.
Yeah.
I really hate that what comes with this are all of these like praises for Joe Biden. Yes, the memes, the filler on the news talking about Joe Biden's journey here. And I'm like, fast forward through this.
I have a question. Cody, how are you? We didn't ask Cody.
Thank you so much, Sophie. I'm not bad. I'm feeling all right. Feeling a little fresh, a little invigorated. Really looking forward to see our loser president say a bunch of loser whiny baby shit.
Yesterday was good.
It was good. It was good. It's gonna get better though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Sounded like shit, buddy.
You sound like fucking trash, man.
If you guys missed this yesterday, President, soon to be former President Donald Trump, went out there, basically
shuffled
ranted
his sad ass out there.
You know, he did his sluggish self and just, you know, let it rip.
A lot of lies. It was very, very frustrating to watch because, like, why are we watching it? But he did look very,
and
very sad.
Kudos to MSNBC for cutting away. Do that stuff more often.
So that's part of it. And then the other part is frustration with generally being right about everything else that's going to happen. With the blaming of progressives,
which we'll get into later.
All the Biden stuff you talked about, Katie. I've already seen people tweeting like they feel sorry for Donald Trump in a way. A lot of the sort of general like we're gonna get back to this and back to this and back to this. Like, yep, already doing it. So that's frustrating. But
It's gonna be frustrating after today.
Yeah, but today is for basking.
Today is for having a little bit of fun thinking about the fact that you can really see the COVID-19 on the president's face today because he just looks exhausted.
You brought up COVID-19, and I think it's very important to note that we have had consecutive highest numbers of cases reported.
Horrible.
For several days in a row. I believe we're at 120,000, but there was a tweet that we might be up to 150,000 by the end of the day. So a gruesome reminder of what's still at stake right now.
Yeah, a lot of stuff for tomorrow.
Sophie, your turn. Did you say how you're feeling?
I'm disappointed and not surprised with my disappointment that our country's so fucking racist and stupid.
Is actually a good transition to talking about what I kind of want to talk about. There's lots we want to talk about. Yes, it appears that Joe Biden has won this election. They're not calling it. We can go ahead and call it, I think.
Oh, called.
It's called.
It's called. It's called. 100%.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. I'm not Slate Nilver, but you know, I'll make the call.
I don't think
our reputations are at stake here on this.
Breaking news. I'm going to call it. Joe Biden won.
You mentioned the progressives, and we're going to talk about that whole conversation in a little bit. But along the lines of the frustrating things that you see talked about, it's all of this talk about Joe Biden as the unity candidate. And a lot of people saying this is a resounding victory. And to me, it still is not.
Embarrassing.
It's like we were waiting for Georgia to flip by a couple of hundred votes. Like, come the fuck on. Resounding.
Very cool that Georgia is flipping.
It's great. Incredible work. Great work, Stacey Abrams, John Lewis. Hell yeah.
This whole thing is just, you did your jobs barely.
Yeah.
Well, not for Georgia. Georgia fought against an insurmountable. Absolutely. I just want to be clear about that.
I was just going to say that, and if it wasn't obvious already, thank you to the amazing people of color who saved this election from our shitty white people who did the wrong thing.
100%.
Yet again.
But like,
God damn it.
I completely agree with you. It's just, if anything, this just, again, reiterates just how divided our country is, how it's not going away anytime soon. I mean, there's that barbecue beer freedom guy and everybody had a laugh about him as we are doing right
we
now.
Did,
but
yeah.
I also saw it as like a really awful reminder of the way a huge percentage of people in this country think and feel. And all the people gathered outside of the ballot play, the voting centers
to stop and start
whatever, you know,
count the stopping of votes. Yeah.
I know that people have already likened this to that episode of Veep, but it's eerie.
Robert, did you see any more information about that potential terrorist attack that got stopped at the convention center?
It's Proud Boys. It seems to have been a family. Yeah. My buddy named Goad in Virginia. He's one of the guys at the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville who faced off against those Nazis. He ran into them a few months earlier at an anti-lockdown protest and got photos of their vehicle. They were doing some sort of, actually, let me pull up old Goad's tweets about it, because they're pretty interesting folks. They did a fundraiser for something a little bit back, but yeah, they were part of the anti-lockdown protests and seemed to be good dudes for sure.
I love good dudes. That's great.
Love to see it.
Oh, here we go. Okay, I've got it. So the guy Antonio number one has, sorry, Katie.
No, that's fine.
I think Antonio LaModa has a hilarious comics that he draws of Amanda Chase beating up Governor Northam of Virginia that are just
okay.
Like very, actually he does have a little bit of, he put in a little bit more work. He could have been a cartoonist. He's like Ben Garrison level. But yeah, he also worked security for Amanda Chase when she made her announcement for her campaign for the governor of Virginia. And it's pretty cool that he tried to carry out a terrorist attack, but didn't succeed to do so.
Good news.
Yeah, he registers himself as private security, bodyguard, surveillance.
I mean, it's just like these people are volunteering their time to count these votes, working through the night. But it's frustrating that it's taking so long.
They're putting posters over the windows while people film it from the inside. So it's
like it's not already being live streamed.
It's disgusting.
Should note also, there's photos of Virginia State Senator Amanda Chase with the Hummer that was to be used in the attack and a QAnon flag behind her. So again, we have some shit we're going to have to deal with.
Yep.
Some shit, like,
this sucks.
We're going to be dealing with some stuff here.
This fucking sucks. Like,
you know, it's not done.
Yeah, no, there's no, yeah.
All of these are very important points.
Yeah.
And part of the problem right now is that it is being, it's so dragged out.
Drorged out.
I believe we mentioned this when we did a episode earlier this week. The same day voting in many states, of course, heavily favors Donald Trump, the in-person voting, because this year so many people did their mail-in ballots. And so we always knew that it was going to take a long time. I wasn't, I guess, emotionally prepared for what that would actually look like. You know, this because so many states do not allow for counting of those ballots before Election Day. So all of the day, mm-hmm. the votes that were cast that day got counted first.
Again, by design.
By design.
Yeah,
it was
happening right now.
Yeah, it was part of a plan to, you know, okay, if Donald Trump had been clearly ahead on the same day voting, then he would have had a blanket excuse for saying, stop the votes. All of these are late. But it doesn't behoove him right now. I mean, he's saying it anyway when it's appropriate for him. But
also, side note, he was never ahead at all during this entire process. So I just wanted to point that out to him. I think somebody should tell him a couple of times.
Well, he listens to this.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, Donald. In terms of called states, Joe Biden has always been ahead at every
always
state.
Been ahead. Always been ahead. All right.
So it's
very
just,
funny.
It didn't funny. Quite work. But yes, it that has amplified this division and the uncertainty around the election. It's contributing to all of our nervousness as we watch and see what's going to happen and how people will react. I assume we will be talking about this for a while. This is the first of many conversations about it. Do you guys think that Trump will refuse to leave the White House? As
no.
People were talking about online today.
I
also do not.
It's funny.
He's gonna pout.
Because the stuff he said yesterday, he was absolutely like saying a coup yesterday. Like what he was saying yesterday was for sure a coup. Yeah. But it was the lowest energy attempt at a coup I could imagine. And it's one of those
Sleepy
things.
Dawn.
I was chatting with a colleague about this. And I think the conclusion we both came to is that like this dawning realization of like, oh, right. Like they're fucking exhausted too. Like everyone is
well,
fucking
that was the,
exhausted. Yeah.
When we talked about this show specifically, we didn't know that anything that happened this year was going to happen. Certainly not the global pandemic, but the idea was, it's going to be the worst year ever for everybody.
Yeah.
Not us.
It's a terrible
but
year.
Them too.
Yeah.
They don't like it either. They're not having a fun time during the election either. For everybody. And that little speech that he eked out really, really put that on display.
He's having a bad time.
Having a bad time.
Sympathy for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. JK.
He looked like he was like half on a sedative and was like talking.
It's great.
Like
we
that.
Love it, folks.
And it was really enjoyable for me. His body language was even shittier than normal. Yeah. Where I was just like, And Kaylee didn't even look him in the eye, which I really enjoyed. Normally, she like will be like looking up when he's talking, like a creepy, creepy cult person. But in this case, she was head down the entire time. Which
yeah, they're losers who lost. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
shame.
I also want to ask you guys,
yes.
what do you think of these floating thoughts of he'll just run again in 2024? Think he would?
Alive.
I think
if he's alive.
I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so. I don't think he wants to be the president. And I think that he'll figure. I think he will figure out something in the next 2 years that makes him feel like he is presenting himself like a winner.
He's gonna have a news network.
Him to do that. He'll do something. He's gonna call into Fox News every fucking day and talk about how Joe Biden. You know, like it's all.
He's pretty angry with Fox News right now.
Yeah,
for calling Arizona.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Fox calling Arizona wild.
So great,
they got
great,
it.
But wild.
Thank you.
They got it
and accurate
and accurate.
So apparently Nancy Pelosi just said that we may have lost some battles, but we won the war. And to I say, shut the fuck up.
You
Nancy
did it,
Pelosi.
Nancy.
Did a famously bad job.
We won the war.
Getting Congress.
We won the war, girl.
Come on,
girl.
We won.
Girl.
A single battle, barely. That's
barely,
what just happened.
By the skin of
girl.
Our teeth.
Unreal.
And you still don't have enough in fucking Congress.
You can't
to,
do it.
Like, guarantee you can do anything besides not do the worst things that Trump would have done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nancy Pelosi should no longer be the Speaker of the House.
No, she
shouldn't. I mean, she shouldn't have been anyway.
Which, Katie, I think this kind of transitions into what you were going to discuss about progressives ruining everything.
You're right. That would be a really excellent transition to what we're talking about. But we're going to do that after this little break that we're going to take. But don't worry, we're going to come back right after that break. And then we're going to talk about this.
Hey, look at this. Just kidding, this is an auditory medium. Anyway, it's time to talk about Skillshare, an online learning community with thousands of classes for creative and curious people. Did you just get back from brunch and still have tons of time on your hands? Well, Skillshare can help you find your voice, deepen existing passions, and explore new skills with classes designed for real life and all the circumstances that come with it, like election results, or how to watch election results for 4 days. Anyway, most of Skillshare's classes are under 60 minutes with short lessons to fit your schedule and skill level, from new and doing your best to pretending you're new so you do exceptionally and look like a real smarty pants. Members get unlimited access to thousands of classes with hands-on projects and feedback from a community of millions. Most of Skillshare's classes are under 60 minutes with short lessons to fit your schedule and skill level, from Galactic Hero Snoofle Doofle was created from a Skillshare class on an After Effects plugin called Duik, but I also have my eye on Mastering Illustration, Sketching, Inking, and Color Essentials with Josiah Brooks so that Snoofle Doofle can look, you know, at least a little bit better. They've got classes on productivity, which I think a lot of us could use right now, marketing, filmmaking, so many options and opportunities at just $10 a month. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/news2, and the first 1,000 people to use our link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership. Receive free access to thousands of classes for a limited time. Be one of the first 1,000 to sign up at Skillshare.com/news2. Again, that's the numeral 2.
And we are back as promised. Yes, Sophie, that is a good transition to talking about whether or not progressives are ruining everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Guys, what do you think?
Yep. We made Joe Biden run on Medicare for All and the Green New Deal, and he did, and then he lost, right?
Yeah, so that's what happened.
There you go.
It just is another example of how terrible the Democratic Party is and how disgusting they are.
Yeah.
I'm gonna set this up a little bit. Sure. If you guys might have seen this, but Rep. Spanberger, who barely won her reelection, I think she's in Virginia, apparently said, "We lost races we shouldn't have lost. Defund the police almost cost me my seat because of an attack ad. Don't say socialism ever again. We need to get back to basics." And this kind of set off a whole
socialism's
bunch of
basic
conversation.
Good luck. And yes, it is.
and it's pretty wild.
Predictable. Very predictable.
Because, yes, this week, We lost some recently won House seats from red districts. We lost some of those. A QAnon person, like you mentioned earlier, has won a race. But at the same time, a bunch of moderate reps in swing states and established Democrats, people that have been around for a long time, lost their seats to progressive challengers. And that conveniently gets left out of a lot of these conversations, which I think is interesting. And I think that that is something that we should unpack a little bit. Like, to me, obviously, I bet that defund the police and the attack acts and Black Lives Matter, I bet that did prove to be challenging for people in traditionally red districts. But that doesn't mean you abandon the issues. What that means is that we talk about the issues differently. We put time into it instead of just trying to ignore it, which is what they largely have done this whole time. They haven't addressed this head on.
Yeah, it means you don't capitulate entirely to the right-wing narrative about that stuff and instead push back because they're lying about a lot of things.
You don't think we should play their game by their rules on their field?
No.
I think we saw how that worked in 2016. And
interesting theory about obvious things.
I also think, like, yeah, I'm sure that, you know, Black Lives Matter movement and just in general, the fact that there's been so much protesting and riots this year cost some Democrats their seats in certain districts.
Yeah.
I also think there's a good reason why so far the right wing street response to all of this has been so limited and scattershot. And I think it's because they're fucking scared because 40 million people took to the streets.
Yep. And I think, I do think that Black Lives Matter, the whole thing this year did, it did the opposite of that too. I think it did.
I did too.
People, it got a lot of people registered. Exactly.
A ton of people registered.
But nobody acknowledges that. Nobody sees the effect of this movement.
Spanberger or whatever the fuck didn't acknowledge that. But I think
some people do. And I think that's the kind of one of the heartening things, I think, is that a lot of this stuff that, again, very predictable. I've talked about it. We knew, like, okay, they're going to blame these people. They're not going to really consider anything because every single time they lose an election when they run a moderate, they're like, well, we'll do it again, but more.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, and not just in the past 4 years, but even just like recently this year, have been, for lack of a better term, radicalized. About these kinds of things. And they see that and they're like, well, that's bullshit. That's obviously not true. I think that the people in these positions and a lot of these elected officials are gonna, you know, not change and they're gonna keep thinking these things. But the pushback isn't going away because it's obviously bullshit. So I don't know.
I mean, in general, looking at how we did this election, we obviously did badly. We lost some seats, you know, but we didn't take the Senate. We didn't really. I mean, we might. We're going to talk about that later. But
yeah, we'll see.
If we end up miraculously tying the Senate, it won't be easy. And so they haven't done a good job. They haven't done a good job communicating to why we should appeal to middle class Americans, to people in the red states. You know, we've talked
poor
about this.
People.
Well, we've talked about this on the show a lot. Medicare for all is actually a very popular thing that they refuse to run on. And now
$15 minimum wage one in Florida.
Yeah. Yes.
While
at the same time going for Trump. So that's very interesting, isn't it?
LA passed Measure J, but
yeah,
fucked up Prop 22.
Repeat what I said. I think I said on this podcast earlier this week.
It's one of these two podcasts.
It's actually very good and easy for politicians who actually want to communicate to the public that good things are necessary and possible, and that they want to do them.
Yes.
And more and more people are saying this. I think that is going to keep.
You know what?
Keep happening.
Agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. But it is cool that now the composition of Democrats in the House is going to be more progressive. They're going to have to start learning to work with them more.
Or they'll fight it tooth and nail for good reason.
You know,
Nancy Pelosi, there's a good reason.
Should not be the speaker. Chuck Schumer should not be.
Oh, Schumer, get out of there. Oh my God, man.
I mean, let's be fair here. Nancy needs to take on her real role as the only street leader Antifa will ever have. Like, we need her in the streets, kicking in doors and
sarcastically and clapping,
bricking cops in the face.
But apparently not actually being sarcastic when she did it.
I just do not need any more of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
There'll be a new speaker, but who knows who that will be.
I think it'll be me. I think I got a shot.
Go for it. Throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah.
Throw your machete in the ring,
Robert. I
also thought
that AOC had a good tweet thread about this and adjacent to it.
Really unpacking it.
I'm not going to read all of that. You guys should look it up.
Yeah, just look it up because it's horse shit what people are saying.
Also, she correctly points out that the people that won Senate races had really excellent digital campaigns. That the Democratic Party kind of failed to rise to the occasion of how to canvass and campaign during a pandemic.
Yeah.
And it's very clear if you look at who did what and how it worked out. And I mentioned the Senate, one of the big
Let's abolish it.
No more Senate.
Right.
Obviously, we all really wanted to take back the Senate, and that has not happened because of all the things that we just talked about.
Yeah,
It seems unlikely. We gotta count all the votes.
But you gotta count all the votes.
You gotta stop all the votes and count the votes. Sophie.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. Shody. No.
But it is exciting to see what's happening in Georgia. You know, hope is not completely
all around.
Georgia all around.
Way to go.
Really
to go.
Knocked it out of the park. love to see it. It's actually very exciting. I mean, it's exciting for a lot of reasons, but specifically for me watching Georgia's returns and seeing David Perdue's lead slowly dwindling to below 50% was so fun and satisfying. Yeah. He fell below 50%, which is sending him into a runoff against Democrat John Ossoff, which is in addition to another Georgia Senate race that's going to go to a runoff between Kelly Loeffler and Democrat Raphael Warnock. Somehow managed to pull that off, we would be tied 50-50, and then Kamala Harris would be the tie-breaking vote.
I hate to break it to you, but
yeah, it's a long
shot.
Fine.
Sorry. Well, no, it's just that
I know that.
It's just that the Republican majority or this 50-50 is a built-in excuse for the Democrats to not do anything.
Yeah,
they will use it to capitulate before they have to.
2024 is going to be the next worst year ever. If every year that, I mean, every year that also comes next might still be the worst year.
Well,
ever.
That's why this podcast title will never change, because it's always going to be true.
It's just going to be one hell circle. Great.
Yeah. Welcome to the hell circle. That's our new. It's going to be our answer to the Pod Save Network or whatever.
Time is a hell circle.
The hell circle.
Time is a hell circle.
When is the runoff? Because I want to know so that we can talk about
January.
It as much as possible.
We'll definitely talk about it. Cool. Everybody's this all anybody's going to be thinking about. You thought you could rest. You were wrong. You get to anxiously await another election for several months.
It's amazing. We're
it's another election of our lifetimes coming up in just a few months.
I'm not buying into that. I am going to be a lot less fucks giving about elections for the next little bit and focus on really just knuckling down and bullying the shit out of the Democratic Party. And I mean mm-hmm. just like mm-hmm. really. Yes. Heads in the toilet, you know, putting their hands in a jar of warm pee so they pee themselves, but their hand also has pee on it. All the classics.
We are going to be best.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Oh, Cody. That like hurt.
Yeah, that
it's
was
great.
A little painful. I didn't like
it's finally, you can finally criticize them and tell them to eat shit and not be told that you love Donald Trump. It's great.
Oh,
how freeing this is.
Yeah, I feel liberated.
It's like a whole world of possibility in front of us here. It really does. You're not wrong. I was thinking about that today. Like, okay, well, if we happen to win these two seats, it'll be infuriating to see how much they don't get done.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be bad.
Strap in for that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's going to be terrible.
Let's not fool ourselves. But
I'm still going to try to get as much money and attention on that race anyway.
Yeah, no. It's good. It's important. And it's also good that things are so fucking close there, because it means we have a chance of, you know, flipping large chunks of the South, which have languished under unbelievably despotic Republican rule for quite a while. Unfortunately, the Democrats, because again, not super competent, really botched it at the state level races, which is going to mean that the Republicans get to do more either redistricting or, you know, maintain if the districts are still advantageous. Like, they'll get to keep fucking around mandering their jerrys as they love to do, because again, the Democratic Party has never had ground game and has only ever been a giant fundraising organization run on rage about the things the Republicans do.
That's the stuff.
There is some cool shit happening. Can I talk about QAnon for a little bit? There's some fun QAnon shit happening.
If you did, I would love it.
So
you never said there's cool shit happening. Can I talk about QAnon?
Is this the fact
unbelievable?
That Q, the Q posting stuff.
No, Q hasn't posted in a little bit.
Q
unless
hasn't
he's posted right now.
No, that's what I mean, that people are freaking out about that.
No, there was that attempted terrorist attack or whatever it was. It had real Comet ping pong vibes to me at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, and then a bomb threat today, probably something similar. My boss actually, my boss at Bellingcat, Eric Toller, who's a wonderful, very talented digital researcher, posted a thread today that I'm just going to read verbatim in Eric, because it's very funny, and it's about what QAnon, it's about one of the dominant conspiracy theories spreading in QAnon space about the election right now.
Yeah.
A decently large group of QAnon people think that Trump is going to remain president because, number one, all the real ballots had a special watermark. Some say it's a special radioactive isotope. Some say it's just some ink marking, which is probably true anyways. Others say it's some magical digital mark, etc. Democrats are too dumb to know about this when they made fake ballots. Yep. Trump is biding his time, letting the Dems and media declare Biden winner. This is part of the plan to let everyone expose themselves. Q people keep saying that Trump must lose to win. Using SCOTUS and some magical government actions, all will become clear in a revelation-style wave, and the entire Democratic leadership and media will be arrested and executed for treason.
Wow. That's some good stuff.
Love that song.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Song.
Oh, it's real fun.
It's cool. It's terrifying because it's true.
Yes. We didn't know about the watermark until right now. And I'm actively packing my bags for Bermuda.
I remember now. I remember my ballot note, and now I see like there was no. They're right. There was no radioactive watermark on there.
Oh no.
Oh no! Right, so like, the whole thing is like, actually, it's good because we used the radioactive ones.
Oh man! And something else funny just happened. Rick Hassan just pointed out he went through the fine print for because Trump's soliciting donations now from his followers to make a recount happen and litigate things. And it turns out that might be a little bit more of a grift than it seems.
Even more of a grift?
It does. But the fine print notes that 50% of each donation may be designated towards paying off the debts of the general campaign account.
Yes! Yes! Fuck yeah! Oh my god! Oh yeah!
Oh, that's some good shit right there, isn't it? Oh,
do it to me! Yes!
Oh, my fucking nipples are like diamonds right now.
I mean, I gasped.
That is tasty.
Wow, wow, wow. Yum, yum, yum.
What a day for basking. My goodness.
Can we all just say...
LOL.
Yeah.
ROFLOL.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That part.
Gosh. Whew. What else do you guys want to talk about?
I want to talk about how undemocratic it is that that Gavin Newsom will just get to like, pick Kamala Harris's replacement.
You make a very good point. It's strange.
And that person's name? Michael Bloomberg.
Michael Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I will lose. I can't even say it out loud. But it's just like weird to me that that's like a thing that we do when if it was somebody who was in Congress, there would be a special election. But in this case, it's just like Newsom, who we know doesn't have great taste in. He was married to Kimberly.
He certainly was.
She sucks. Obviously.
This is from the New York Times article about who he might pick and some of the options. Among them, Attorney General Javier Becerra, Secretary of State Alex Padilla, popular Latinos and Newsom allies who have both won statewide office, U.S. Representatives Karen Bass of Los Angeles and Barbara Lee of Oakland, who are Black and who were both considered as potential running mates for Biden, also vying for a spot in the list. Popular female office holders such as U.S. Representative Katie Porter of Irvine and State Senate President Tony Atkins, grassroots progressives such as U.S. Representative Ro Khanna of Silicon Valley, and then it goes on to say chief executives of diversity such as Mayor Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles, Mayor London Breed of San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera. What a list.
Okay, first of all, Karen Bass supports Scientology, so fuck Karen Bass.
Yeah.
Second of all, fuck Mayor Garcetti. Please, he should never have
that would
any
be
oh, God,
elected.
No. Yeah.
He's got to know.
No, he's
Bass.
A bad mayor.
Bad
would be an awful choice.
Mayor.
I've seen a lot of support for him to not replace with a white person, and I agree with that statement.
Yeah,
probably not great. Although Katie Porter, awesome.
Katie Porter
totally
would be
agree.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think
Barbara Lee could be cool for like a 2-year interim. Katie pointed out to me that I actually did not know because she does not look 74, but she is in fact 74 years old.
Yeah,
she's old.
I think that the two people I think of most would be Barbara Lee or Katie Porter. And I agree that it would be best to get a person of color, but Katie Porter
also,
is also incredible.
It would also be nice. Like Barbara Lee is she's the one person who voted against giving the president all these fucking powers to do all the wars. I don't know. There's something very prescient about her, that one vote, and it would be nice to have somebody like that.
I wouldn't mind it
representing us.
I think that we need a lot more younger people in there. But Barbara Lee,
I don't disagree with that either.
Would be comfortable.
But
I mean, it would just there would be no Black women in the Senate.
Yeah,
we've had very few. I forget the exact number. How many Black senators we've actually had in our entire history? 10. That's what I thought.
Which is shameful.
Yeah.
10 since emancipation.
Also, like the age thing. I don't know if age is age is a number. Pete Buttigieg is 74 years old. Bernie Sanders is 45. You know, like there's a difference in just like the number of the age. So I'm not necessarily completely against
that. I've also seen people say, yeah, but Katie Porter's district is hard to win, County.
I mean, I think that's a consideration that she's popular there, that was a hard won district. For sure. That's a consideration.
Garcetti would be so fucking funny, though.
Ugh.
Like, that's unbearable. That's like one of the funniest results of that entire situation. It's just like, it's one of those utterly predictable things, right?
How is he even on the short list is my question.
He probably isn't. It's an article. Something floated around, but not sincerely being. He was way down there. It'll probably, like you pointed out, Sophie, earlier, be one of the people that he can replace with an appointment.
Yeah. I don't think we said that. I don't think we said that on mic, though, Katie.
Oh, no, we didn't. I meant earlier to me. You go ahead.
It was just pointing out, Politico was just pointing out that he could, the two top choices he has, which is Padilla and, oh my
and
God,
Becerra or whatever, Javier, the attorney general.
So it's like, instead of him getting one, instead of him being king for a day, he'd be king for 2 days, essentially.
Anyway.
Also, any chance I get, I just want to point out that he does look like the president from the show Scandal.
I don't watch that show. I don't know. I didn't watch that show. What else you guys got?
Lots of hair gel. Fucking shit.
Lay it on me.
First off, Republican Senator Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania says he's seen no evidence that Democrats are trying to steal the election and called the president's statement disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
thank you, sir.
Disturbing. I love it. Yeah. It's a little notch up from concerned. We appreciate it.
Yeah. That is a nice jump up from concerned. It's just been nice to watch the ones that have abandoned him completely already. Like, you've got guys who are hedging their bets still. Cruz is hedging his bets still.
Because he's
a huge coward. Who's the other fucker?
Lindsey Graham, Rubio.
Cotton. Yeah, they're all.
Matt Gaetz. Crenshaw is being a real weasel about it.
Yeah, Crenshaw's being a weasel about it. Crenshaw's being a weasel in a way that I think he knows. I think he's accepted that Biden's won, but he also has accepted that he rode to power on a wave of Trumpism.
He knows. Mm-hmm. He's one of the dangerous ones. Like, he's way smarter than a lot of these freaks. And he is distancing himself while being like still linked to it.
He's got a real shot at the presidency one day.
I know, Katie, I think you wanted to talk about how stupid polls are, right?
Yeah, we can talk about how bad the polling was, how far off the polling was.
Yeah, even in adjusting, adjusted for 2016, the polling is good. Well, is it still?
No, it's one of those things. One of the things that's always very funny to me is how Nate Silver says so many things, so some of them are always spot on, because he wrote an article right before the election, like he did before the last one, pointing out that, like, you know, if the election was like a standard deviation away from the mean off, it would look like more or less similar to how it looked broadly, and Biden would still win. And that's what happened. He also, you know, made a bunch of predictions that looked very off, which is always really funny, because reading polls is basically, you know, magic.
It's magic guessing. We've talked about this before. Like, they gave him 10% chance, but he still won. It's like, yeah, that was the 10% chance and it happened. Like, and yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's this polling error that seemed to be causing a lot of these problems. It's a similar way that they poll for, like, approval rating. So has Donald Trump's approval rating been much higher all this time?
Right.
Than we've thought it was?
I mean, absolutely. Like, not absolutely, I don't know, but it's absolutely something to think about. Have we just totally been missing the mark? I mean, would appear that we have.
I don't know about that, because, okay, let's say, like, his approval rating, if you're looking at, like, I don't know, like, most of the aggregators, like, we'll talk about 538 again, has had him in, like, the low 40s. Yeah, so we're looking at, like, I don't know, 69 million votes for Trump right now. Might be around like 70 when the whole kit and caboodle gets counted. So that's what, like, a fifth of the total national population. But I don't know how many like are adults or whatever. But like, whatever. Like, it seems broadly consistent with saying like 40-some% of Americans support the president, but they didn't all vote or couldn't all vote. Like,
perhaps.
I don't know. doesn't seem wildly off in terms of like his national popularity. I'm not a math doer. Biden's ahead by, I don't know, 4 point something million in terms of votes. Which
it is about 4 million, yeah.
You know, and it was looking at like, 50, 42, something like that. Like, that seems, doesn't seem like, if they were, if the if his overall popularity was misjudged, it doesn't seem like it was by like a staggering amount.
Significant, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Again, not a math doer.
A word
so
doer.
So, if you guys are a math doer, chime in and let us know if Robert's
speaking
right.
Speaking of math,
say it out loud right now so we can hear you.
Yeah.
Speaking of math doers, it's so many times on these news channels have they shown poor out in the field reporters trying to do math and not being able to do math. And it's been, you know, it's really lightened the mood for me.
I haven't seen any of that. That sounds delightful.
My favorite things.
It's great. As somebody who cannot do math, I was like, you know what? I understand. Please cut away from them. But also,
I love when you're watching Kornacki or King or whomever's up there at the board, and the board is bad. The board does something different. Like, there's been several times where Steve Kornacki's like, oh, okay, well, you should just all pretend like you're not seeing this because this can't possibly be right. And like, or like drawing on it and it's not working. All of it. Love it. Love it. Favorite part.
That part and something else I've thoroughly enjoyed as a as somebody who's trying to be a youth and enjoying TikTok is how unbelievably horny Gen Z is for math guys. Even John King. There's so it's like the thirst trap map guy TikTok.
Interesting.
Unreal. Like, look, very weird. I'm Sophie, like, have you never seen somebody use a touchscreen before? Come on, Gen Z.
Sophie, it's a horny year for everybody, okay? Like,
fair enough.
Unbelievable.
Come on. Come on.
They're just staring at them, their butts for hours and hours. So that's got to have something to do
I understand.
It, you know?
I understand.
That chaotic, sleep-deprived energy, because my goodness, they just are not getting a break.
No, I want to shout out, actually, a couple of reporters that I've come to appreciate.
Oh, I thought you were going to shout out horny people.
No, I mean, I always shout out horniness. That's a good idea. I like Dave Wasserman. I've enjoyed him during this election. He's done great updates, and he's been spot on about everything he's kind of called. He works with NBC, I think. He's good. He's really good. Brendan Keefe, chief investigator at Atlanta's WXIA 11 Live, has done a really good job of covering Georgia, as has his colleague Aaron Peterson. I've appreciated all of their not sleeping for days during this. I just wanted to highlight those particular people for 4 years from now.
Really helpful. Thanks, Robert. All right,
keep them in mind.
I think that does it for us today here on Even More News / Worst Year Ever, the crossover
Even
mashup.
More
do
we Worst have any Year final Ever thoughts? News.
Do we have any final thoughts from anybody? Anything anybody wants to share? Cody? Robert?
You know, Starbucks, what's the thing Starbucks is?
Gingerbread lattes, Robert.
Starbucks has stopped selling gingerbread lattes.
They gave them to Canada.
So since we're not going to have a civil war, maybe, hopefully, take up arms against Starbucks and force them to do your bidding with violence.
That
is an incitement to illegal violent action.
All right.
Just one thought I had. Has anybody else had this is going on so long that you just start doing that thing when you're up too late and Google something and then go down a whole Wikipedia and you find out things like John King was married to Dana Bash on CNN?
I didn't know that.
Specifically.
They're not married anymore. But
tension at CNN newsroom.
Tension. Yeah. It's like you're just the delay is just telling me things I never need to know because who.
Well,
who cares?
I think my only Google wormhole was speaking of the TikTok and the thirst traps.
Yes.
I Googled if Steve Kornacki's single and I couldn't tell if he's married or not, but he is gay and out and he came out a while back and wrote a big, lovely, interesting Medium piece about that experience. So I can't tell if he is in fact married or not, but he's a cutie and I know that.
Very. Very, very adorable man. Cody, any last thoughts that you'd like to share?
Have a wonderful basking day, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Bask hard.
You can check out Worst Year Pod online at Worst Year Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And yes. Even More Deuce doesn't have its own specific Instagram, any of that. But we're all at Some More News, which is our video show.
Also watch their movie.
And the movie is out.
Oh, heck, your movie's yeah, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Profoundly erotic.
Mm-hmm. That's how we like it.
But that's how we do it. I'm going to end this crossover episode with Even More News' signature sign-off. That is true. We love you very much.
Much.